I've been trying to get it done for a while, my friends. You know this, and I think I finally found a way to get it done. Oh yes, today, the Ski Rex Media Podcast dives into the Q&A episode. It's finally happening! Check it out here on the old Ski Rex Media Podcast. How you doing, everybody? Tim from Ski Rex Media here, finally doing the old Q&A episode. You know, if you follow Ski Rex Media on social media, and I think you should, I'm not the greatest with social media. I'm not the most consistent with social media, but I put stuff up there that you could check out. Might be a lot of fun for you. Go ahead, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even LinkedIn if you're interested in that. But I've asked many times to get the Q&A episode done. I've asked for questions from the audience. That's what I've done. And, you know, this isn't something new. I'm not breaking new ground here. I'm just not. But I was always curious about the format, about doing it, about getting the questions and then what my answers would be, which hopefully wouldn't be the answer you'd expect every time. And I don't mean that in a forceful way, like I'm forcing crazy answers or stuff like this, or trying to be funny or whatever it is. I really just want to see where it would go. It's interesting to me. You know, I did question and answer episodes on other podcasts and, you know, through YouTube commentators, things like this. Just the stuff you run into in modern day entertainment, digital entertainment, as it were. And, you know, I always wanted to try it. Plus, I like fan interaction. But I've never gotten a lot of questions all at once. One here, one there. I've done them on podcasts. You've heard me play them back on from the SpeakPipe voicemail. You know, I use SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/SkiRexMedia. You can leave me a voicemail and then I can address the question right on the podcast. I can even drop the audio in and then answer the question, which I've done. I've also done it with email questions as well, and questions from social media, the few that I've gotten. But I've never gotten enough to do a full episode of them. But I think I found a way to do it. Before we do that, however, we have to do this. You know we do this. We do this every week that there is an episode. I do an ad read because I have partners, people who like me, who believe in Ski Rex Media, and I believe in them. And if you're not a fan of the ad read, you can always go to Patreon. You can subscribe on Patreon. $1 a month. That's where the tiers start, and that will get you the ad-free early release version of the podcast. Pretty cool, right? But if you don't mind the ad reads, or you actually enjoy them, maybe you enjoy me doing them, let's do that now. This is for you, those people who enjoy them and what they can be. Pardon that throat clearing. My voice is still a little shot from being sick. In any case, first and foremost, the Ski Rex Media Podcast is brought to you in part by Whaleback Mountain. Now, you've heard me talk about Whaleback Mountain all winter, all the prior winter, and all the winter prior to that. That's how much I love that place. That's how much Ski Rex Media loves that place. And that's how much I am there. But you could say, Tim, it's April. You're getting down to the end of the outside season. And, you know, fact is, Whaleback's been closed since March. You know, we had that lull in the snow. And they had to shut down. But that doesn't mean everything is shut down. They had a party going on for the eclipse. They did. You could have watched the eclipse from Whaleback Mountain. How cool is that? During the off-season, or what we consider the off-season, Whaleback Mountain is still a venue for your event. Call them up. If you need a place to host your event, why not host on the side of Whaleback Mountain? They have their lodge. They have the scenery. They have everything you need for that. They can help you out. Give them a call. Do you like disc golf? A lot of us play disc golf in the old off-season. I think I might even get into it. They have a full 18-hole disc golf course. Do you like volleyball? I like volleyball. They have a sand court for that. Two courts, two games could go on at the same time. Plus, if you had the wherewithal, you could walk up Whaleback Mountain, and they do live music throughout the summer. That's right. In fact, the big draw again this summer is probably going to be the Adam Ezra Group for their three-peat performance at Whaleback Mountain. That show is always a lot of fun, and the Adam Ezra Group is fantastic. You know, for someone who digs on the hard rock and heavy metal, you wouldn't think I would be into Adam Ezra Group, but I am. They are very cool. The year, the season, it doesn't stop at Whaleback. It keeps going, and they have all kinds of stuff to do. Go to whaleback.com. You can see events calendar. You can get all the contact information. Plus, they have their passes for next season on sale. The best prices you're going to get are this type of year. Go to whaleback.com. Pick up your pass. Check out their event calendar. Set up your own event at the mountain. Whatever it is you'd like to do, Whaleback has got you covered. So accessible. Right off the interstate, I-89, exit 16 in Enfield, New Hampshire. Whaleback Mountain. In the winter, ski it to believe it. In the summer, check it out and just believe it. And then we have Embrace Compression. Embrace, another sponsor. This podcast is brought to you in part by Embrace. Now, throughout this winter, and just this winter, because this is new to me, I have been using the Embrace Snow Sports Leggings, compression leggings designed for snow sports, designed in part by an Olympic skier, Shemi Alcott, British Olympian alpine skier, professional. She knows what she's talking about. These leggings are fantastic. They will make your legs, at least they make my legs, and I think they'll make your legs and back, lower back, feel fantastic throughout your ski day. It starts at the bottom with the boot cut. You don't have to jam these things into your boot. They fit right above the boot. It's wonderful. They go up into the knees. They have built-in knee support, and what skier, snowboarder, or other snow sports enthusiast does not want that kind of support? It goes up through the hips. It goes up over the hips and onto your back. If you want a little heat action, there's pockets on the back for your back. You can make your back feel better with a little heat. It feels nice during the winter, especially on the super cold days. Also, they're designed women-centric. The women's are not just the men's with a different size. They have other features specifically for women because they were designed in part, like I said, by a woman, Shemi Alcott, four-time Olympic British skier, alpine skier. They are fantastic. I've been using mine all season. I loved them. I still do. I will probably take them down for the session at Big Snow during the summer. Absolutely, 100%. I love them. I don't even like to take them off, but when I do, I get into my Dynamic Plus leggings. Same basic idea, just for sports outside of snow sports. Hiking, running, biking, and they're awesome. And if you want to know more, you could do a couple things. You could drop back a couple episodes of the Ski Rex Media Podcast. You can listen to the episode with Shemi Alcott, where we talk about the leggings. You can also listen to the episode with Jeff Hansen, founder of Embrace. Or you can go to embrace.com. The link is in the description. Go to embrace.com, and if you decide to pick up a pair of leggings for yourself, whether it be the Snow Sports leggings, the Dynamic Plus leggings, or something else, you can get 10% off your order by using the code SKIREX10, SKIREX10. Again, link in the description. I suggest picking up a pair. I love mine. I love them to death. I've used them since I got them. I use them every time. And I have the Dynamic Plus. I use those now when I'm getting out on the trail. It's going to be a hiking year for me. And getting back on a bicycle, I'll be using them then. Heck, I use them to work lifts at Whaleback. That's what I did. Embrace.com. Embrace.com. Use the code SKIREX10, SKIREX10, to get yourself 10% off of a pair of your own. Enjoy them. Embrace and Whaleback help bring the Ski Rex Media Podcast to life, and I think you'll enjoy both. Please check them out, won't you? Now, I do have a ton of questions, and I'll tell you about how I got them all here in a second. I'm sure some of you can already see where this is going, but before I get into the actual episode, we do this here too. We remind the listeners, I almost said viewers, this hasn't been a video podcast in many, many moons. I thought about going back to it, but I would have to actually get it done and done well, like build a better backdrop or a small studio space, something like that. And I don't know if I really have the room for that, if that makes sense. Anyway, not the point. The point is, follow Ski Rex Media on social media, which I said before, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, if you want. That's more for business. But if you want to get in contact with me, you can for business that way. You can get in contact with Ski Rex Media all of those ways through those social media outlets. They all have direct messaging capabilities. You can send me a message. You can also send me an email, contact@skirexmedia.com. You can send an email right to me. That totally works. And you can also go to SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/SkiRexMedia. You can go there, leave a voicemail. You can do it completely anonymously if you want, or you could leave your name. Either way, it's up to you. You can ask questions. You can give criticisms, as long as it's snow sports related. And, you know, you can even go a little wide with that. You can go a little more vague with that, a little more general with that, and I'll tie it in. I'll figure out a way. You could also do bits, and you could wish friends happy birthdays that listen to the Ski Rex Media podcast, happy anniversaries, happy whatever it is, happy graduation, whatever it is. Go ahead to speakpipe.com/SkiRexMedia to leave Ski Rex Media, me, Tim from Ski Rex Media, a voicemail, and I will bring it to the podcast or to social media, and we'll address it, and we can have a lot of fun with that. All right, so here we go. Now, let's get into the topic of today. That's the Q&A episode. So I openly admitted that I don't get a lot of questions all at once. I get a few here and there, which is awesome, and I love that. But to make a real Q&A episode, one has to get a bunch all at once. So how do you do that if you're having trouble with that? Simple, you leverage new technologies. If you've noticed in the thumbnails recently, or you may have noticed the thumbnails recently, you may have noticed other things, I like to play with what we call AI generators, the various AI services that we have. Now, I will debate the idea that it is truly AI, artificially intelligent. It's not. I debate that and say it's just a really, really sophisticated calculator. In essence, the professionals might say that's wrong, that's simplified, that's whatever. Whatever it is, I still dig them. I get a kick out of them. I've used them for practical applications as well, which is kind of is, but I also use them because I think they're a lot of fun. You can get a lot of crazy, weird stuff out of these and quickly. Do I think it will replace artists and filmmakers and others? No. You still need talent. You still need talent, and you still need someone to be able to do something very specific. And this definitely isn't there. These things aren't there yet. But what they can do is pump out 50 questions related to snow sports, some of which I've read already in preparation, others I have not. I have 50 sitting in front of me from ChatGPT related to snow sports. I told it, I says to it, I was like, can you fill the role of a Ski Rex Media listener and pump out like 50 questions for me to play with? And it's like, sure, I can do that. And it spit them out. So here's what we're going to do with this. I'm going to still keep this around 20 minutes, half hour. That's what I do. I do have 50, so we're not going to get through them all. But this is mostly a test session. This is for me to test how well I do this, how well I answer questions, where my answers come from, what kind of answers I give. You know, it's practice. Also for you, will you enjoy the listener? Will you enjoy a Q&A type episode? Does the Ski Rex Media podcast fan base enjoy this kind of thing? So, yes, these were all spit out by a sophisticated calculator, but get into how I perform. Do you like listening to it? Maybe you had one of these questions and it got it right. Maybe you have another question that's a bit more specific. You know what I mean? We can check that here. We could do that with the practice session here. And because this is a practice session, take it easy on me with any criticisms you give. Okay? Please, I beg you. So let's get started. Let's try this out again. It'll only be 20 minutes, half hour. I'll keep an eye on the time and we'll see where we end up. So I'm not going to get through all 50. So we'll either come back to this if we have a little fun with it, or maybe it'll just become extras on the Patreon page. Subscribe to Patreon, $1 tiers starting. Tiers starting at $1, right? Right. First question, what are the most underrated ski resorts that you think people should know about? Let me tell you something. I don't like the word underrated. I don't like the word overrated. I've been working very hard over the years to get rid of those words. It's all opinion-based. Because it's opinion, see, underrated, overrated seems to be fact. if that makes sense. Like, why is it underrated? Well, it might not really be underrated. It might just be people don't know about it. You know, an underrated ski resort. I guess that would be underrated then, wouldn't it? All right. Well, anyway, the point is, I don't typically use those words because skiing and picking, you know, these things, what's the best, what's underrated, what's overrated, is all subjective. What one person might feel is underrated, another person might say, well, it's underrated because it sucks. Both of those are subjective. Both of those are opinions. Here's the thing. I think you should check out the ski areas that aren't as well known, that don't have as big an advertising budget as some others. You know, from here, for example, you go down to like New York City or Boston, you can find some ski area and resort billboards kicking around signs, but it's only a handful of the big ones, typically the corporate ones. Of course, they have a little bit more money. They have a little bit more ad revenue. No, they have a little bit more to spend on advertising. And, you know, so you're going to know them. Not necessarily underrated. You go to some of the independent resorts, the resorts on the Indy Pass that people don't always know about. It's not that they're underrated. It's just that people don't know about them. It feels underrated, but it's not really underrated. People love them. Everybody goes there. Bolton Valley is a good one. Whaleback Mountain, one of our sponsors, is a good one. People would say, well, I think Whaleback's underrated. I don't. The majority of people who go there love the place. Even Brian from IG. We know Brian. He's been on the podcast. He came up and we went out one afternoon on the Whaleback. And he's like, dude, I'm pleasantly surprised. He's like, this place is really cool. And he went out with a Scooter, who's also been on the podcast, and a couple other guys that weekend as well, and told them, hey, Whaleback's pretty solid. I really enjoyed it, he said. So is it underrated? No, it's just under the radar. It's not as well known. Pick up a thing like Indy Pass that doesn't do the big, more well-known corporate mountains. Just get out a map. Just go to Google and say, hey, how about you show me, you know, ski areas and resorts near me, and things are going to pop up that you didn't know were there. Every so often I find them I didn't know were there. McIntyre in Manchester, New Hampshire. McIntyre Ski Area, Manchester, New Hampshire. Literally in Manchester, not in the outskirts. It's in the city. It's in a neighborhood. It's surrounded by a neighborhood. It's very small, but it's very cool. And the people who love it would never say it's underrated. Just under the radar, not as well known. So we need to watch out for the word underrated. But I think people should, if I were to pick some that people should know about, I'd say there's just so many. There's so many. Just don't listen to me on that. You know, you go ahead on there and you go look them up. Go to the Indy Pass. I love Indy Pass. Check that out. Also, you know, you could get it with the Epic Pass. You know, there's, you know, people know Stowe. You know, say that, Stowe in the east. But there's also Crotchet, much smaller, a bit more out of the way, but equally as awesome. Would not say it's underrated. I love it. Actually, Crotchet's now in my top 10, maybe my top 5, but I have to work on that list. So there you go. I don't believe in the underrated ski area. I only believe in the not as well known, and they are just as awesome as the big ones. So go out there and find them. If you really want a list, Bolton is awesome. Whaleback is awesome. The Dartmouth Skiway. Cannon. Some people might say that's not as well known. I love those places. Now, you know, Jay Peak is on the Indy Pass, but it's pretty well known. So, you know, it's, again, underrated versus well known. Just get out there and ski anything. Anything you want. And even if it only has rope toes, you know, some people are like, that's actually really underrated. You know, and it's, people just don't know it's there. Second question. Can you share some tips for finding the best deals on lift tickets and season passes? Yes, I can. Now is the time. Now is the time. If you want a season pass, you are never going to get a better deal than when the season has ended. We go into spring. We get into the springtime here, and people might still be skiing. We still have places open here. We have plenty of places open here, but they're selling next year's pass. It's going to be at its best price. It's going to maybe even give you the end of the season. Like, say you didn't have a season pass last year. You buy next year's season pass, they might let you ski to the end of the season. They might. Not always, but sometimes. Now is the time. Buy your season pass in the spring. Absolutely. And there are some mountains and some of the bigger passes that will do a payment plan. Now, If that's for you, I don't know. Maybe you like to pay outright. Sometimes it's just easier. It is a bigger outlay. Sometimes it's easier for people to use the payment plan. It's up to you how you want to do it. But all the deals are now. Get them while they're hot. As for Lyft tickets is more of a during the season thing. My thing is go to the website. Go to any old ski area, ski resort website and start to scroll down. Scroll down. You will find all the best deals low on the page. Why? Two reasons. One, it's not that they're hiding it, but of course they're a business. They want to make money. If you just go in and buy a ticket unresearched, they're going to make they're going to get more on the profit margin. Plus, if you know those deals are at the bottom, you're going to scroll through the entire website to find them. That's more advertising for them so they can get out their events, they can get out, whatever other promotional stuff they have to do. Scroll to the bottom of the website. You'll find the best ticket prices. For example, I did that on a whim once for Killington and found their Vermont, New Hampshire days. Vermont, New Hampshire residents on certain days get like a $45 ticket to Killington or Pico or Pico. And I went to Pico on a Monday for $45. That's just a great deal. Scroll down to the bottom of the website for Lyft tickets during the season and get your passes in the spring. As an extension of that, now's also the time to buy new gear. Spring clearance sales, best prices around. Head to your local ski shop. Head to your favorite website. I'll bet you're going to get the best price on gear right now that you could ever get. Springtime for season passes and gear. Bottom of the webpage for Lyft tickets. Now, next question. I hope you're enjoying this so far because I'm actually getting a kick out of doing it. It's just me and a list. It's wonderful. The next question. What's your favorite memory from a day on the slopes? ChatGPT wants to know what my favorite memory is. Dude, I don't know. There are so many memories. When you've been doing this as long as I have, and I've been doing it since I was 12, except for that 6-year hiatus I took. But since I was 12, I'm 45 now, man. And I've been to so many places now. I've been to close to 30 different ski areas and resorts across like 7 different states, including Obergatlinburg in Tennessee. That was a great day. I've told that story about meeting that family from Louisiana, how nobody takes lessons, so it's just a show. It's a mess. It's awesome. I think everybody should check it out. I've had days where I've biffed and it's been spectacular. For instance, I was at Camelback one year. A friend of mine, I was with her two kids. Only the oldest son knew how to snowboard, so the other two, the mom, my friend, and the younger son were in the learning area. I went up with the other son, the older son. He crashed. He ended up breaking his wrist to the point where I think it needed 2 screws surgically inserted later on. And I dropped him off at the first aid building at the bottom of, this is Camelback, Pennsylvania, mind you. And when he just thought he hurt his wrist, we didn't realize how bad it was. We went to the ER after this in the next town over. It's not Stroudsburg, I don't think, is where the hospital is there. Is it though? Maybe, I don't remember. But I went walking across to the learning area, and his mom sees me coming by myself. She knew immediately. And once I got them, the younger brother and his mom back over to the first aid kit building, I'm like, well, here it is. I went and took a few more runs because it was taking a while. And then I ended up falling and hurting my back pretty bad. It was in physical therapy for a month. It's these kind of things, dude. There are so many memories. I could tell you about the time I fell off a box. I could tell you about the time I went face first into powder and no one was around to see the biff, so why embrace it? I could tell you about times when my friend smoked too much in the gondola and I just wanted to stick my head out the window. Like, all kinds of crazy stuff. Stuff from when, we're hitting in a condo or the house, wherever we were staying, days from when I worked, skiing in the 90s back in high school, man, the 2 trips we took to the X Games. So many, dude. So many. What's my favorite? I don't know. It's hard to put one above the other. I like to use memories for the story, and the story could be, the story has to, it depends on what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I have a favorite memory, but I have so many. And that's one of the brilliant parts about snow sports is that you build these memories. You really do. You have a lot of fun. It's a social sport. So a lot of them, you know, have, you know, while I have a fair amount of memories with just me, I have a fair amount with a lot of friends too. So do I have a favorite? I don't know, but I have so many. Maybe we'll have to tell some stories here. Do some specific storytelling. Maybe I'll figure out how to do that. Question number 4. How do you recommend beginners overcome the fear of skiing and snowboarding? Just do it. Get out there and do it. It's similar to the idea of swimming. To learn how to swim, you got to jump in the pool or the ocean or the lake or whatever. You know, same idea. To get over it, man, just do it. Beyond that, or more specifically, get lessons and stay in the learning area. If you're on a nice gentle slope with someone who's trained to tell you how to do it, it's a lot less nerve-wracking. It's a lot less anxiety ridden. You're not as scared, because A, if you fall, it's not going to hurt really that bad. And to be honest, unless you fall bad, like a full-on high speed or high altitude crash, and I shouldn't say high altitude, but say you're in a terrain park, you do a jump and you crash, these things hurt. But just a general nice easy moving fall on your backside is not so bad. It really isn't so bad. And listen to people when they say that. Now, to each their own. Everybody's different. You know, what scares one person won't scare something else. Some people are afraid of the dark, like me. Other people aren't. Some people are afraid of flying, like me. A lot of people aren't. There's a lot of, it's a lot different for different people. So people are going to freak out even when they get to the top of the magic carpet at Whaleback. And that hill is wonderful for training, especially little itty bitty kids. That's another way to do it. You know how beginners can get over it? If you are fearful as a beginner and you're going to have children and you'd like them to try this, get them out when they can walk. Little kids don't have any fear. They don't know what's going on. So try that, but don't, you know, just jump in the pool. Get on the side of the hill and go with someone who knows how to teach you. Get the lessons. You'll totally thank yourself for getting the lessons. It'll be so much easier on you. 5th question. I think we're only going to get into 5 questions because I'm already at 26 minutes into the episode. And that includes everything. And it might be a little longer and shorter once I edit in like the theme music and all that good stuff. But we're at 27 minutes. So we'll do 5 questions for our test run of Q&A. Now, as I continue, think about these questions. Do you like how I'm answering them? Do you get a kick out of this type of podcast? You know, because this isn't going to be all I'm doing. Obviously, I'm going back to, you know, as the end of the season, the podcast, the 5th season of the SkiRex Media podcast season finale is coming up shortly. And that's going to be with panel of guests. I still have to do the teen episode. But this is something I dig on doing. You know, it gets the mind going. When someone asks a question, it gets you thinking, you know, makes you think, forces you to think. Think about questions you'd like to ask. Send me a DM. Send me an email. Send me a voicemail. All the links are in the description, and you can go to SkiRexMedia.com. 5th question. What are the essential items to pack for a day of skiing or snowboarding? Now, here's the thing. I've had this question before. People have asked me, what do you take? What do you think is essential? Man, again, it's up to you. Like, what would my suggestions be? Well, obviously, take your gear. Take the clothes that you think you'll need. Some people get cold. Again, everybody's different. Some people get cold. Some people don't. I prefer to start cold. I will wear less in the morning, deal with the cold, because I know I'm going to be sweaty and gross and warm as the day goes by. It's a physical sport. That's what happens. I think really this one, as much as I hate generalized language, being vague, being too general, which is a big problem in this world, but that's a whole other podcast. You know, I don't like being general, but here I think it's okay. I think it can apply. I think it's all right to say, what do you need? Well, you need your equipment. Your equipment is based on what you use, what you like, where you're going that day. You know, and that includes your skis, snowboard, whatever it is you're riding. The clothes, you know, the shirt on your back, your jacket, your Embrace compression leggings, your pants, you know, hat, goggles, or sunglasses. If you dig on getting camera footage. You know, you like taking your videos and your pictures. Make sure you have it. You know, make sure you have your phone if you use that. Make sure you have your GoPro, your Insta360, or your DJI, whatever it is. Your phone. Phone might be essential. You know, we find that, you know, as mountains, you know, people, cellular companies love to put the tower up on the ski mountain. Why? Because it's a mountain. You'll get better, you know, better use out of that thing up there. It's good to have that way if you do have to call an emergency or you lose your friends and family and you need to catch up with everybody. That's great. So that's a specific one. Cell phone, if you carry one. If not, I mean, some people carry radios still. I've seen them carry, you know, consumer walkies and use those. So communication device, your other gear and equipment, food, if you like food, if you like snacks. I don't always, you know, the more I'm active, the less I eat, which is really dumb, but that's just what I do. Water, on the other hand, I drink water constantly through the day, so definitely have your drink on you or your other hydration. Again, this is something we can go generally. Do you keep water on you? Do you keep Gatorade or other sports drink on you? Do you use those little jelly things that help hydrate? Excuse me. You know, your hydration. And, you know, geez, what else? I think that's really it. I mean, if you're a cigarette smoker, make sure you got smokes. If you're a pot smoker, make sure you got your weed, you know. Some people would say that alcohol is essential. I say it absolutely is not. Please don't bring your alcohol on the lift. Most mountains prohibit it anyway. And there are many of you out there who are slobs and throw your fireball shooter bottle off the lift and onto the ground and you're polluting. Don't do that either. Pack out your trash. Please do that. So your essential items, like again, that was a very general list, but you know, it's up to you. What do you think is essential? Some people might, you know, what is your ski EDC? Your personal ski everyday carry. And I've thought about doing that episode or writing an article about it. Ski EDC, your everyday carry. What should you bring? Because it's not about should. It's a recommendation. Most days. And again, it also depends on the day. Like, do you know what my essentials are for going to Whaleback? Just my clothes and my gear. That's it. Like, there are times I don't even, not even 100% sure I have my wallet in my pocket. You know, because it's 15 minutes up the road. I'm going right there. I'm going to do some runs. I'm going to come back home. Back to the old HQ, right? But if I'm going further, say when I went to Attitash and Wildcat this season, I needed not only my gear, but I needed my, you know, I needed my computer. Because I'm working that. I needed, you know, I needed PJs. And you could say, well, that's not for a day on the slopes. And I'm like, I know it's not on a day for the slopes. But if you're a travel skier, you need your travel gear, don't you? Plus, you know what I didn't bring? My sunblock. That's right. It had been raining and crummy and cloudy and all that. And I didn't bring sunblock. And then Wildcat, I get out there. It's blue sky and sun for days. I had to go in and get sunblock. So there you go. What's essential? Depends on the day. It depends on the person. Right? Right. Five questions. My babbling and intro music and stuff. We're already at a half hour. So we'll keep it simple. We'll keep to the five questions. I have 45 more to go through. Will I make episodes out of them? You're damn right. Because if I have nothing to talk about, this will be a good backup. And I said in the last episode, I need good backups. Or you know, once the season ends and we get to the season finale, maybe I'll put these up. I'll do an episode addressing the rest or a couple of different ones addressing the rest of these questions just for the fun of it. And I'll put it on Patreon and we can see where that goes. Right, right. In any case, it is time for me to get out of here, I think. Once again, thank you for listening to the Ski Rex Media Podcast. I enjoy making it for you. I hope you enjoy listening to it. And I hope you dug on the Q&A. And again, let me know what you think about the Q&A, and if you did dig on it, if you think it's a lot of fun, or if you thought it was entertaining, or if you think it's informative or helpful, I don't know how helpful or informative it is, but, you know, let me know. Shoot me some new questions, anything you want, snow sports related, maybe outdoor sports related, and we'll get into it, and we'll do the whole thing, right? Right. Again, thank you for listening to Ski Rex Media Podcast. Follow Ski Rex Media on social media. Head to SkiRexMedia.com for all links and the to sign up for the newsletter that I do each week, to sign up and ask for stickers. I'll give you stickers. I'll send them right to you. No cost to you. just send me a request. It's on the SkiRexMedia.com website, which is a very easy website to navigate. All that good stuff. You know the deal. You don't have to remember any of it. Just go into the show's description down there in your favorite podcast app, and there are links and notes and everything else for you to check out. And I will catch you later. The season's coming down to a close here in the East for the outside season. And then we're all going down to big snow during the summer. I know I am. Like I said, I'll be bringing my Embrace compression leggings, and we'll be having a lot of fun down there, right? Right. Again, thank you for listening. I'll see you on the next one. Have fun out there, and have a good summer. You know, we're getting into spring and summer. We'll have a good time, right? Right. Tim from Ski Rags Media. Thank you, everyone. Later.